Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. I started my Zen practice many years ago when I was inspired by a story I read. It's a story about the well-known 9th century teacher in China, Uman. The story goes that Uman once said, "Our school lets you go any way you like. It kills and it brings to life. Either way." And one of the monks in the assembly that night said, "How does it kill?" And Uman said, "Winter goes and spring comes." And the monk said, "How is it when winter goes and spring comes?" And Uman said, "Shouldering a staff, you wander this way and that, east or west, north or south, knocking at the wild stumps as you please." Now, I didn't completely understand the story. I didn't understand the meaning, the messages, the metaphors of that story from ninth century China. But what a sense of freedom I felt in reading that story. So, even though I could not relate that story directly to my life at that time, I was inspired. I was inspired. But so what? I thought, what do I do with this inspiration? I had no idea what to do next about what I had read and what I felt from it. I had no idea what to do next, or even if there was a next. So I just continued reading Zen books and talking about it with friends at work, in hallway conversations. But then some years later, I met with Suzuki Roshi, and I started Zen practice, started sitting. Initially, I was very much inspired by him, by his way, but I was confused. I was confused by his lectures and what he was saying, what he was trying to say, and I was confused by Zazen practice itself. What is this uncomfortable posture? What am I supposed to do? But I was inspired. And because I felt inspired, I continued my practice. And I watched Suzuki Roshi. I watched his ways and how he was with people. And I realized that was the answer to what's next. Now, back in those days, in the early 1960s, a lifetime ago for many of you, back in the 1960s, many students, many of the Zen students at that time, were very casual about their practice. To me, they did not appear to be bringing their practice to their daily life. In those days, there was a lot of carelessness, discourtesy, drugs, sex, rudeness. But Suzuki Roshi accepted every one of them without reservation and without criticism. I, in turn, judged them for their attitude and their behavior. He did not. And I thought, how can he accept them without saying a word? And I came to the realization that I was judging him for not judging them. Even though I was inspired by his gentle and non-judging way, that inspiration was not enough for me to be gentle and non-judgmental. And when I saw that about myself, what a revelation that was. I didn't remember ever having a vision of myself like that before. In our lives, there are many potential sources of inspiration. We have books, and we have lectures, and classes, retreats, videos, and podcasts, and movies, many ways that we can become inspired. We can also have personal encounters with inspired people. But how do we go from feeling inspired by someone or something to actually being what that inspiration points to? How do we become what that inspiration points to? This is one of the big questions that arises during our practice. So, what does it mean to be truly inspired? Not just for the moment, not just for this week, not just for this month. But to be truly inspired so that we can activate that inspiration completely with our own life. So the question we have for ourselves is this feeling of inspiration that I have, is it always alive in my life? So inspiration can activate our life when it guides us to action, to some activity, and not just something to feel good about. An activity that will create or change or do something or make things better. Inspiration activates us to do this, to make things better, to create something in our daily life, in our daily activities, and in the course of our entire life. And these activities are, of course, both social, political, and part of our work. They are personal, they are private, and they are in all of our relationship, these activities. But actions that come out of our inspiration have a prerequisite. We have to feel expanded and broadened beyond the ordinary for inspiration to really move us. We have to be expanded beyond our ordinary life. We have to feel in some way that our life is deeper than what we experience on the surface, and deeper than how we live. In other words, to be inspired, we have to wake up to ourselves. So to be truly inspired means to be awake. There can be no lasting inspiration in our life if we are not awake, awake to ourselves, and awake to what we're doing and how we are doing. So for any initial inspiration that we feel, for that initial inspiration to work through us, it has to find its way in us, deep in us, to seep into our marrow. The inspiration must become deeper than some kind of surface excitement we feel. And for that initial inspiration to work through us, it has to inspire us to do the work that arises every day and every moment. To commit to a change that we have to make that's necessary. To break a habit when we see that it is harmful. To commit to a new activity when we see it's helpful or useful or necessary. To commit to a new way of living and a new way to be, if that has to happen. To commit to a new attitude, if we see that we must. To commit to a change in a relationship, if it's for the better. This is the work that we have in our daily life. And we have to commit to being ready to change to any of these things. So, the change that we have to make usually requires some work, may require some sacrifice, certainly requires some adjustment, but it may require sacrifice and it may even be painful. But the most important point about integrating inspiration into our life, we are required to look at ourselves honestly. And this is often very difficult because it's hard to let go of our long-held habits. They feel so safe. But we can let them go when we feel inspired and we're ready to make the change. So actually we cannot rely on some kind of inspiration that comes to us from outside of ourselves. We can't rely on an external inspiration for freedom. that would be like living from holiday to holiday, from celebration to celebration, from one excitement to the next. Always waiting, always searching for the next word or event that would turn us on. If we rely only on inspiration that comes from outside, it will be a life spent waiting for life to appear. And we should not mistake a single inspiration, as exciting and as joyous as it may be, we cannot mistake a single inspiration for real life. It's just a shadow. Only through our own effort can inspiration become deep enough for us to envision how things actually are and how our own life can be. So inspiration must go from words, the words we hear, the words we read, must go from words and from ideas and from emotion to vision. Vision, a feeling of certainty of how we want to be in the world, and what it is we want to express with our life. So when we read stories about Buddhist teachers and what they said and did, we may be inspired and excited even. And the stories of these ancient teachers can illustrate their effort and the difficulties they were willing to experience to bring inspiration deeply into their lives by looking into their own lives and looking at their own karma. So, for example, the story of the Buddha, who until he was in his mid-20s lived a very comfortable and privileged life as the prince destined to become king, comfortable, all desires taken care of. But he got a glimpse of old age. He got a glimpse of illness. He got a glimpse of death. And he saw how people suffered. He hadn't seen it before in his 20 years or so. But when he saw it, he gave up. He gave up his privileged life. And he embarked on years of hard practice for the rest of his life. He was inspired by what he saw, but he was ready. Then there is the story of Dogen. Mm-hmm. 13th century teacher in Japan who established this school of Zen. When his mother died, when he was 8 years old, And at her funeral, he saw the smoke from the incense rising, and he was immediately struck by the transiency of life. So he became a monk. And he went on many long journeys in search of truth. Our founder, Suzuki Roshi, admits that during his life he made many mistakes and that they were painful to him, but he kept going. Kept going into areas that were unfamiliar to him. But he had some vision, and he was inspired by what he wanted to do. So these teachers and other people in the world are determined to explore their inspiration. And to come to some understanding. In acknowledging the difficulty of following an inspiration, Suzuki Roshi said, "For a Zen student, a weed is a treasure." Usually, we hear about or we read about something that inspires us. But usually, we don't follow through. We hold back. We don't know what to do with it. So it's like, it's as if this initial inspiration comes to us as a gift in very colorful, in a colorful wrapping of emotional excitement. We need to put that wrapping aside to get to the heart of inspiration, to what moves us. We need to ask ourselves, beyond the wrapping, what is it that's in here? It's the same as asking, what's in me? To follow our inspiration, we have to take off this wrapping that we call ourself. And explore, who am I? So we, in this practice, we start the work of giving up addiction to emotional excitement, which is a lot of what our current world is all about. One excitement after the other, and we become addicted to them, to having more of them, to having them continue. We need to give up that addiction and look for something else to provide us with inspiration. Otherwise, we are like a junkie always looking for a fix. The fix usually being a temporary relief from our karmic burden. If we are interested, only in isolated inspirational moments and events. We will stay captive to our habits, our reactions, and our patterns that have been developed from our life history of difficulties and painful experiences. So true inspiration means making the effort to break the habit, to go beyond the wrapping paper, to open up the box containing the collection of our delusions, our mistakes, our fears, and our disgraces. As Suzuki Roshi once said, you have to go back to the source of your karma. So when we feel inspired by something we see or hear, we should look at why we feel inspired. Why do we feel a sense of liberation from that event or those words? And what is it about ourselves that prevents our freedom? Because our karma is us. It is us. It is we who prevent our own freedom. So when we look at our karma, we may not like what we find. Painful memories, mistakes of a lifetime. But if we can recognize the universal nature of our painful moments, we can turn them into a treasure. As Dogen says at the very end of the Genjo Koan, the wind of Buddhism makes the earth golden and causes the river to flow with sweet fermented milk.
This talk was brought to you by the Kanando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to kanando.org. That's kanando.org.